This is Mame Warren. I'm in Lexington, Virginia with Robert Dyer, D-Y-E-R. And today is the, where are we? At the 10th of July, 1996. Mm-hmm. Now, you are class of 1934.
Yes, ma'am.
That must have been a really different time to come to Washington and Lee. And that, we're talking the middle of the Depression.
It was different, but not that much different. The Depression caused a great many of my friends to drop out before they got their degrees because their families were having trouble economically. But we still had the honor system. I think we had a better football team. But it was still very, very similar. Probably 35-40% of the students had grandfathers in the Confederate Army. That may not be true anymore, but the same kind of student has applied here, and I don't see any great difference.
Now, I'm real interested in that. Did people sit around talking about their grandfathers and having been in the Civil War?
No, but they had names that were that made everybody know that they'd been involved in the South. And the professors gave a little sign when they called on somebody with a name that had been important in the Confederacy or earlier. They'd almost give a slight bow to that person to acknowledge that they recognized their history of their family. Actually, this happened when I was at Harvard, too. Only there, it wasn't history of the family. It was somebody with family names that founded companies like Dole Pineapple or Briggs Body of General Motors. The presidents gave them a little nod, showing that they had that same recognition. I don't think they do that anymore.
That's really interesting. Well, now how did you pick Washington and Lee?
Because I'd grown up with the influence that the South should have won the Civil War, and the Dyers had originally come from Virginia, and so I looked for a school in Virginia.
And there are a lot of schools in Virginia. Why Washington?
Well, I'd read things about Robert E. Lee, who were the chief influence.
So what was your first impression? Can you remember what it was like when you first arrived here?
It was just as delightful as I had imagined. Sometimes people are disappointed, but I had good roommates on either side in the dorm. I had the room in the top floor of the dorm that looked out over House Mountain, and it was. And the professors were all wonderful. I enjoyed them completely, so I didn't have any problems about it.
You know, I think a question I should ask you, that the answer might be different. How did you get here, literally? Did you arrive?
I came on a train.
Tell me about that, because people don't do that anymore.
Oh, no, but the train is still running. I know people that take them, and I forgot the name of the town outside here where it stops and turns around and goes back to Chicago. It was the only time I ever took it. It was the Depression. Very few people had cars, automobiles. I did not have one till my last year, and then I had a 15-year-old Dodge that I bought for $50, but it worked. But otherwise, we traveled by hitchhiking for the main part. At one time, I wanted to go to Washington, D.C., and I stood out on the highway and lifted my thumb, and a car picked me up and took me about 30, 40 miles, and I got out and wrist my thumb, and another car took me the rest of the way. That was the way students traveled. When I was going home, I stood out on the highway heading towards the west, and a car stopped and picked me up, and it turns out it was the mayor of Huntington, West Virginia, and he took me all the way there, and Turned out he'd gone to Washington Lee and told him all the stories about his stay here.
That's great. I understand Washington Lee just goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. So one story I've heard or I've read about is that back when students used to arrive by train, that the fraternity guys would meet you on the train. Did you experience that? Were you be rushed on the train?
No. There was one Washington Lee man living in Illinois, and he called on me before I ever got close to transportation, and tried to get me interested in his fraternity, which turned out was the one I joined, because it was unusual. Most of the fraternities were centered on rather strict lines. My fraternity had been founded in New England long ago, and we recruited people of all nationalities, whether they were Jewish or anything else, and none of the other fraternities did that at that time.
Now, which one did you belong to?
Delta Upsilon, which unfortunately went off the campus during Vietnam and has not returned yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a lot of great fraternity brothers. At least three of them became college presidents. One became a professor at Washington and Lee, and another one wrote plays and went to Hollywood and directed movie making at various times. So I felt I was with a very creative group of people.
Now, who was this Hollywood connection?
I'm trying to remember his name, but
I'll have to furnish it. Wow. So you got recruited all the way back in Illinois. That's mm-hmm. amazing.
Well, I was recruited when I arrived here, too, because they have that system. And I did go to visit a number of other fraternities and receive bids. But I had sort of decided on this fraternity. I just thought it was that I wanted to see the others, too. And they were all nice people, but I chose the one by chance that turns out to be the best for me.
Now, what impact do you think the Depression had on Washington? I know you were in the middle of it, but looking back now, can you see things that were related to the Depression while you were here?
Well, the professors probably didn't get important increases in their salary, but we all survived without any great effect. The bad effect came afterwards, because this was kind of a fairyland where everything was good, and then when we got out in the world to find a good job was a real problem, particularly for me, because I had taken philosophy and English literature and courses like that, and that was of absolutely no use when applying for a job.
Were there any particular professors who were important to you?
Oh, a great many. Dr. Latour, who founded ODK, was a great friend. I forgot the first name. There was a Graham that I think taught French and also coached the Glee Club, which I belonged to.
Was that John Graham?
I think it was John.
I know there were lots of Grahams.
I'm not sure. We didn't call them by their first name, but I think it was John. And there were several others. Oh, there was one professor that had written behind Lee on Traveler, and we were all, we were pleased to take courses from him because it seemed he connected us back to another generation. But Dr. Riegel in journalism was a very excellent, he taught me a great deal about how to write and how to write stories. So I enjoyed his courses. In fact, there weren't any that I didn't enjoy.
Now you were here, you arrived in 1930, right?
I was going to say 31.
31?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were here right when Tom Riegel first arrived, because
mm-hmm.
he came in 1930, and so did President Gaines.
Yes, and President Gaines, I'm not sure how the faculty liked him, but the student body liked him very much, and I'm sure he did a very good job raising money for Washington and Lee. He had a lot of one-liners that he would give in speeches that the students enjoyed. I only remember one right now, that high heels were invented by the girl who got kissed on the forehead. And the students thought that was very funny.
That's great. I've heard a couple of his speeches. And mm-hmm. He really was an attention grabber.
Mm-hmm.
But
can you
pause.
Another professor that we all liked very much was Dr. Campbell. I think his family had been connected to Washington and Lee for a generation before that, and he had written behind Traveler, behind General Lee on Traveler, and he taught geology, and he was a delightful person. He had had part of his education in German universities, and in those universities, instead of clapping over something, the students stamped on the floor to show their approval. And so it became a practice to stamp on the floor in his classes when we students liked something that was going on. And that was sort of unusual. And I think his son also became a professor here and just died recently. Was it Derek Campbell?
Oh, you know, I haven't been here.
You
all
haven't
that
been
long.
There. Yes. There
I'm
was.
A real newcomer here.
Mm-hmm. There was a recent death of that family. And the other thing, contact I had with him away from class was I had decided I wanted some adventure in the world, and I wanted to take a year off to go to sea and do a lot of traveling and hitchhiking and whatever. And so I thought, if I go through in 3 years, then I'll feel justified in taking that year off. And I had to get permission from Dean Campbell to do this. And so I interviewed him, and he looked at my record and saw that my middle name was Campbell, and his Campbells had been involved in the Battle of Kings Mountain in this area. So he asked me, hoping that my Campbells had been involved in that battle, but they had not. They hadn't come over from Scotland at the time of that battle. But I believe that he gave me the privilege of going through in 3 years because my middle name was Campbell, for which I am grateful.
That's great.
It's off, isn't it? One of the things I remember as I grew older, that there were a remarkable number of young people growing up in Lexington when I was here, they were perhaps 5, 10, 12 years old, that they became famous in one way or another. There was a Robertson, who was the son of the Senator Robertson, that is even today a prominent national figure in the political area. Dr. Shannon's son, I believe, became president of the University of Minnesota. Cy Twombly was the son of the swimming coach at Washington and Lee, and he is now living in Italy, and he gets about $900,000 or $1 million for each painting. And he grew up in Lexington, the son of a swimming coach. Isn't it a marvelous world where things like that can happen?
He's actually back here part-time now.
No, I would like to meet him sometime.
He's very nice fellow.
But he wouldn't remember me.
I did a little checking back in the old Calyx to find out the things that you were involved in, and I understand you were on the wrestling team?
Yes.
Can you tell me about it? I haven't talked to anybody else who's been on, was on the wrestling team. What does it mean to be on the wrestling team?
I went out for the wrestling team because I couldn't make the football team. In those days, Washington Lee had a very high-class football team, and they were playing in the big time. They played in bowl games, and I discovered after one day that I was never going to make that team, so they called out for wrestling practice, and I went out for that, and I did make the freshman wrestling team. So later on I made the cross-country team, too, but I was grateful to find teams I could make because Washington Lee was very good in athletics during that period.
So athletics were real important?
Well, it was important to the school, but every student would like to do something while they're in school, if they can, in athletics. It always adds a little diversity.
How about social life back then? Did you attend fancy dress ball?
Oh, certainly.
Tell me about what it was like back then.
Well, what it was like is that all the girls' schools were over mountains and cars were very scarce, so you had to make careful arrangements to find somebody that had a car, and usually they were willing to take some other passengers if the other passengers paid for the gas and oil, and so that was the way to get to the girls' schools, and so every weekend we all gathered and found a ride and got our invitation to the girls' schools and had a wonderful social life. Of course, as everybody knows, in those days, the school was not coeducational, and so we had to go far afield to find our dates. But all the girls enjoyed an invitation to come here. Washington Lee was a popular place for them. I think it's better now that it's coeducational, though. I think that's a great improvement. In fact, if it hadn't happened, I don't think Washington Lee would have the high standing that it does. Because when I was talking to the president at the time of the change, he said the problem was that they were not recruiting the boys, the school was not recruiting the boys they wanted, because the boys they wanted with the high grades frequently wanted to go to a coeducational school. So Washington and Lee became one, and I think it's helped keep up the high level of the new students that they're coming in.
So do you remember thinking about fancy dress back in your day? Do you remember any of the themes that there were?
I'm sorry, I attended all the, when I were here. I was here, but I do not remember the themes.
Well,
they had big orchestras imported and all that.
Were they, through the years apparently it's changed, was it a 2 or 3 day event when you were here, do you remember?
I only remember it being one day, except the girls came in earlier, so there was a social life. They may have stayed over they certainly stayed overnight, and they were carefully guarded. And they probably, in some cases, came in a day early, though I only remember the dance being on one afternoon or night.
So these trips to the girls' schools, would you go to different schools, or did you link up with one school that we were particularly?
Most of the boys linked up with one girl at one school, and I liked all the girls, so I tried to link up with a girl in every school and succeeded to some extent.
Were there any real distinctions between a Sweetbriar girl and a Hollins girl?
Sweetbriar girls were probably slightly fancier and more careful about who would they date. But Hollins was, they were very nice, and there were other school, there was another school in Lynchburg that Randolph Macon Women's College, and I think more boys went to that one than any of the others for their dates.
Any particular reason?
I don't know of any, except that I think if you get acquainted there, then they introduce you to other girls, and it kind of spreads. And then we had a special occasion where we invited all the girls over with that school's cooperation, and they rented a bus, and they brought all the girls over, and they stayed in the homes of ladies in Lexington, and that was one of the best of the gatherings, the social gatherings.
And you mentioned that you were in the Glee Club.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Glee Club travel around much?
Yes, we traveled to girls' schools and to Richmond, and we had a very good time, and I can't say, but the audience cheered, so I guess it was all right.
Was that a way to meet girls?
To some extent, yes. That is true. When we sang at a girls' school, why, quite often we had an opportunity to meet girls. There was a very full social life at Washington Lee.
So it almost sounds like the Depression passed Washington and Lee by.
It did to some extent. I think we're very fortunate, but as I say, a number of students didn't come back on our second year because their families couldn't afford it. So it did affect. I suspect the school suffered in attendance in some of those years because of the hurt that their families were getting financially.
Now, did students have student jobs back then? Would they have helped to bring in some money themselves?
Oh, they had student jobs in the summer, and the jobs available around Lexington, there were some, but they were very few and very, very poorly paid. I think the newspapers were one, as I remember.
What about the newspaper?
I think that was one place where they could sell or deliver, as I remember. That was the only thing I can think of.
How about the town of Lexington? What was it like back then?
The inhabitants here were just wonderful. They were great people. And they seemed to enjoy having us here. The only other thing that was a little bit of a problem, not for the town, but for me, were the initiations at fraternities, they sometimes beat their people with paddles pretty strongly and physically, more than they should. The fraternity I belonged to did not believe in paddling, but they did assign us tasks. Hell Week was the week before you were initiated. You've been pledged earlier. And in my fraternity, they assigned another pledge and myself the job of stealing the clapper out of the bell over the college, which rang every day to call the classes to order. And so we had to go there in the middle of the night with the night watchman not around and climb up and unscrew the bolt that was holding it without making any noise. And we succeeded in doing it. And the next morning, the bell didn't ring for school. So the dean, Campbell, sent out a note, a plea to bring it back. And so we'd done what we were supposed to for our fraternity. So we dug it back and put it on the front porch of the dean. And it was only a problem on one day. The only other incident that I remember was, I say my fraternity did not have the heavy pledging, heavy paddling. However, in the last Hell Week, they did assign something. They had us, all the pledges, about, I don't know how many there were, 14, I guess, or more. We all had to come out to the house at 3 in the morning and close down the windows and turn on the heat so that when the students woke up, they'd be warm. And of course, since we'd lost a lot of hours of sleep, we weren't going to let them sleep. So we made so much noise that they called on the pledge master to do something about it. So he brought us down, and the fraternity house was on Main Street, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and he had us out on Main Street, and we were to form into a group and march up and down, and that was just to keep us out of the way until it was time for the graduate students to get up. So we were marching up and down in the middle of, it was about maybe 3 in the morning, and this countryman who had been drinking in town came wandering out towards his home out in the country. And when he saw what we were doing, he wanted to know what it was all about. And we said, didn't you hear? War had been declared with Japan, and we're forming a company to go to war. And he thought about it, and he said he would like to join in. So he joined in, and he was marching up and down with us until he finally started to wander off. And we told him, well, you've enlisted. You have to come back. So we finally let him go, and we all got tired and went in. But it seemed strange because we told him we were at war with Japan, and of course about 3 or 4 years later we were. And we thought it was a joke, but it wasn't a joke later on.
Oh boy, of all countries for you to have picked. How about VMI? Did you have any relations with cadets at that point?
No, I had understood that in years before that the two schools fought, had fist fights, and it was so bad that they had to stop playing each other at sports because there would be riots. But that was all before our time. By the time we were here, we didn't have any social connections with them, but we didn't have any fights either.
Were there any places out in the country that you all like to go on the countryside?
I climbed House Mountain one time, but only once.
And how would you get?
Oh yes, the rivers and there were beautiful places to walk along the rivers.
How about Goshen Pass?
Yes.
Did you go out there?
Yes.
And how would you get out there? That's a long way.
Well, some of the places we could walk to, but others, there was always somebody that had a car, and if you paid gas, why, you could get a ride.
So even during the Depression, the students had their own cars?
Not very many, but probably every fraternity house had at least one. It isn't like it is now, where every student has a car.
Well, that must have been a good way to be popular, to have a car.
Yes.
Well, is there anything more that you'd like to talk about? Any memories that you have that you'd like to share?
No, Washington Lee, I have only very wonderful memories of it, and I'm so glad that it continues to be a strong, healthy school. I had a great time here, and I had wonderful professors. And the other important thing is the honor system, because I think in many high schools, then and now, there is cheating going on to some extent. And the honor system and the control over it was a very healthy thing. While I was here, perhaps one or two people were thrown out for cheating, but it's out in the world, honesty is very helpful, and the honor system encourages that.
Now, you have both a son and a grandson have come to Washington and Lee. So,
a son and two grandsons.
And two grandsons.
Yes.
So how did that come to be?
Well, I did not persuade them or try to coax them into coming. They came on their own, and I'm sure the fact that I had gone here was an influence. But I never would try to sway somebody to go to a school unless they wanted to on their own. But both son, grandson, and now another grandson have all been very happy here and had good careers. It's worked out well.
Well, you've started a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
The Dyer dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your taking time from the Alumni College to share some thoughts with me.
I was very glad to do so. Thank you.
Okay.